We're going to continue down to item number 11, Custer State Park Buffalo Sales and Auction Update.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Once again, Matt Snyder. As you can see from the book, it was a good year. I mean, for the Buffalo auction, average price per animal was up 30% compared to last year. We had an increase in registered bidders. I don't recall. I know we're up from last year, but I didn't write it down. But this year we had a total of 68 registered bidders, with 37 of them in person, 31 online. We continually do the video auction, so people can come, sit in the comfort of the visitor center, watch it on the big screen, but yet they also have that opportunity prior to go down to the corrals and view the animals they may be looking to purchase. So it goes very smoothly, and it was another good year. So like it says here, we had 6 online bidders made a purchase, 18 on-site bidders that were actually at the visitor center there, and then we had buyers once again from majority from South Dakota, Wyoming, Alabama, California, Colorado, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, North Dakota, and Tennessee. So quite a variety of states represented, again, looking for our buffalo. This year we're looking to overwinter 960. 960 is about a normal herd number for us, and that's based on predictions. So at the time of sale, at the time of auction, what's our weather forecast looking like? Are we going to turn drier? We were drier this summer than we were the past summers. And looking ahead, the extended forecast is showing more dryness. So we want to protect the range by not overstocking animals on that range and making sure we have enough allocation for the elk, the deer, the sheep, everything else that, you know, is home to Custer State Park as well. So that's why we basically went to 960 this year. Looking to calve again, over 400 calves. We did that this past year. We're looking for about that same ratio again this next spring. And just some highlights from the sale. I know that staff kept back this year. I mean, everybody always wants to know, okay, out of that 960, what'd you do? Well, 138 of them are heifer calves that we kept back, and 77 bull calves. And then every year, basically, we're keeping back 15 breeding bulls for our own stock purposes. So, and then that's why you see some of them being sold at the sale. We don't need them all due to the ratio that we keep and that for breeding purposes. So, it was a good sale. Animal weights this year were 50 to 75 pounds heavier than last year when we ran them through for their health check and that after the roundup. So that was great. Means our forage is very good, full of nutrients, and we want to keep it that way. We want to keep providing healthy animals for our own stock as well as for those that we auction off for those buyers. So with that, I would entertain any questions on the auction. Then I can go into, you know, answer Commissioner Bees's question on, are we looking to do any improvements down there? So
any questions on what we have before us from the auction? Yes, Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartling here. Matt, what's your goal for the size of the herd out there as far as breeding stock? Are you at it, or do you want to continue to grow it?
Madam Chair, Commissioner Bartling, basically what it depends on is our range conditions every year. So a year ago, we would overwintered close to 1,000. I think that's about the highest we've ever been, 1,050. And then it just depends. So, I mean, we have an overall resource management plan that we deal with. And in that plan, the average number is 960 right now. So that's where we kind of have stayed. We've grown a little bit. Right after the Legion Lake fire, we had tremendous rain, tremendous forage. And that's why we slowly grew it. And then now with drier conditions setting in, we brought it back down to that 960 because we know we're comfortable with that. We're still in the process of a two-year study with SDSU where we have some radio collars on animals, some GPS collars as well, that's tracking movement. And what we're trying to do with that is they're on the cows because they're the ones dictating the movement, some of those old matriarch cows. And what it's doing for us is basically showing us where are they grazing, how long are they grazing, so are they actually using those new areas of forage that the fire, the Legion Lake fire, opened up in 2017-2018. So we're still in the process of our range ecologists evaluating that information, working with SDSU, and that's going to continually help us to decide, is 960 our number we stay with on average, or does that grow slightly, you know, based on forage condition and based on where those animals are going and grazing. So
Yes, please, Commissioner Bartley.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt, for that. Are you, I know you're selling some breeding bulls off, et cetera, as mm-hmm. you said. Are you buying some back out of a different, you know, genetics?
Madam Chair.
Bringing those into the park? Commissioner
Bartley, no. We have never bought any back in, and that's part of some of the testing we're doing. We're doing genetic testing to keep it fresh. And it's my understanding that, and I hope I say this right, but a bull buffalo will not breed a family member. So is my understanding. And Jason, if you're listening, call me if I'm misstating that. But that's been always my understanding, and that's why you don't need to bring in fresh genetics into the herd. So
interesting. Yeah. Matt, the funds that come in from the sale, what are those used for?
Our funds go into the general Parks and Recreation Fund and then distributed back out. So the $600-some thousand, we're getting more back of that into our operating budget. So basically, is it safe to say that money comes back to Custer State Park in our operating budget? It does, you know, because our budget's, I think I roughly run about a $5.5 million budget is what I do in the park. So it comes back to Custer State Park for our overall operations, which supports what we do down at the corrals and the Buffalo program.
Very good. Any other questions? I know you had an answer for Commissioner Beese.
Yes, Commissioner Beese, you know, when we're looking at the Bison Center and the all around, where are we going with that? The first thing that's going to happen this winter is the remaining buildings that are kind of in front of the Bison Center that you look at that are just kind of detracting from the view shed, they're going away. Our new, what we call Wrangler Barn, is almost finished. Our Wrangler Barn will basically move that day-to-day operation into the backside of that barn. Part of it, when we built the Bison Center, we used to have what we called an old bunkhouse where one of our volunteers stayed. Part of what we're calling the Wrangler Barn now has two efficiency apartments in the front of it where two of our long-term volunteers stay with us during the course of the summer. And then the back portion of that, we have basically, it's a general shop. The store equipment, work on equipment when they're down there, and we did incorporate a restroom in there too, so when staff are down there working, especially during the roundup and so forth, not everybody has to run over to the Bison Center. It just makes it more convenient. So that's one aspect there that's going on. We're also talking right now and exploring. It was something we talked about when we built the Bison Center is, do we incorporate a playground system or not? And we're going to incorporate a playground system in there, probably behind the two shelter houses now. To Josh's point, how do we get people to stay a little bit longer, you know, that want to rest, that want to get the kids out, let them burn off some energy? So we have that going on. Hopefully we'll be looking at that over the course of the winter and see what we can put together and see what funds we have available to purchase a playground structure that will fit in with the area down there. And then we do have the start of a hiking trail that kind of does a short loop now up behind the visitor center. The goal is to continually enhance that trail and take you up on top of a hill to where you would actually get a 360-degree look of the park. You know, that takes you above and you can oversee everything. So still working on that aspect of it. And then the corrals themselves, we're constantly improving the corrals from a standpoint of it was built, the current footprint was built in the 80s and 90s. We have a lot of old posts that are starting to rot, that are starting to shoulder wear. So we've been going to a metal post in like a seven bar fencing style, continuous fencing. We lost some of our corral system in the Legion Lake fire, and we've learned since then that wood's not always the best thing to go back with. We've been going more with metal post and metal bars so fire can run right through it if that was to ever happen again and not disrupt the operation. So those are some of the things short term we're looking at doing. I know for Roundup, we've talked about increasing and making a better trail from all those people coming from the South Viewing area to have better access into that want to walk into the Bison Center and into the corral area as well. So, so I think those are some good starts for us, and we're going to, you know, we're always continuing looking at what else is needed, you know, from that standpoint, and how do we keep that area more from a ranch yard to now it's a public space. And how do we keep enhancing that area? So hopefully, yeah, so.
Very good. With that, thank you very much.
Thank
good
you.
Presentation. Job well done.